All righty. Well, hello once again. My name is JC, and I am your hostess for today. Welcome to Declare Victory. Are there any first-time callers? Well, amen for family. The events are as follows. Declare Victory has an app where you can submit your prayer requests. We encourage you to download the app and submit your requests that way. This will help decrease the traffic we are experiencing with the amount of prayer requests we receive during greeting time. Information on the app can be found in the Victory Room, or you can ask a friend who has it. There were no online prayer requests today. Please join us tonight for Friday Night Live. The name, I tell you, it speaks for itself. Tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with our very own Dee Dee Felder, Diane Templeton, and Deborah, a.k.a. Bubbly. You won't want to miss it. The order of the call is as follows. Scripture will be read by Brother Eric. Declaration, Brother Marcus. First prayer warrior, Brother E.K. Dawson. Second prayer warrior, Brother Adrian. Third prayer warrior, Brother Jeff. And closing the day would be Brother Tim. I will repeat that again. Scripture, Brother Eric. Declaration, Brother Marcus. First prayer warrior, Brother E.K. Dawson. Second prayer warrior, Brother Adrian. Third, Brother Jeff. And closing the day is Brother Tim. Please do not forget to mute your line by pressing the standard star, by pressing star six, excuse me, or your standard mute button. Thank you again. I now pass the call to Brother Eric.
Amen. Thank you. And welcome to Declare Victory. My scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. I now pass the call.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for hosting JC. I apologize for the noise. You all bear with me one second. Thank you for greeting JC and to Brother Eric for that scripture. And I am excited about what I'm going to be sharing on today. I'm sorry, I had to get situated here. Sorry about that. Okay, so this morning I want to share with you something. Before I jump in, I wanted to say that this morning I won't be with you all for the discussion. I'm actually taking my chorus students out on a field trip. So shortly after the prayers begin, I'll be getting with them to get started on our day or whatnot. So keep me lifted and for protection and stuff as we transition on our way. So today, I'm going to ask you all again to don't forget to mute your line, be it the standard mute feature or to press star six, and you will hear a little lady say, muted, and you will be muted. If you want to do both, that's fine. I usually do myself just for just to protect the continuity of the call and so everybody can hear. So today I want to talk to you, and I want to talk to you directly from the scriptures. And I guess I'll give you my scriptures right ahead so you can kind of follow along. I'm going to be coming from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And then I'm going to dip into Matthew 27 and 28. And then a little bit of Mark 16. So that's Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Give you a chance to write that down or type it or whatever you got to do. Acts chapter 2. Matthew chapter 27 and 28. Not the whole thing, but just certain pieces of it. And then Mark chapter 16. All right? Let's go. So here we are on May 13th. May 13th. It's kind of crazy because it seems like the month, the year went pretty quick. And I was teaching yesterday and talking to one of my colleagues, one of the teachers at school. We were talking about how the year seems to have taken a while to get past and get through or whatever. And we're all, like, speaking the same thing. We've been working really hard, and we're all saying things like, I'm just really tired. I need a break and this and that, And so it's a good thing. It just means you've been working hard. Anyway, so here we are, May 13th. And this coming Sunday, I don't know if many of you know, but this coming Sunday is a special day in the life of the church and for Christians. That day is called Pentecost Sunday. So on this Sunday, many Christians will gather, celebrate, and recognize the day that the church was born. It's considered a holiday to remember the day that many early followers of Jesus gathered several weeks after his death and resurrection. Reverend Dr. Mark D. Roberts of Patheo says, Pentecost being so important to the church also is true from a spiritual perspective because the Spirit brings the church into existence and enlivens it. The English word Pentecost is the transliteration of the Greek word Pentecostos, which means 50th day. It is the 50th day from the end of Passover. It is so significant because it is the day that is described in the book of Acts, chapter 2. And we're going to start from verse 1. Most of us know this by heart. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. I'm reading from the NIV version. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Not long after that filling of the Spirit, other events took place, and Acts records that thousands were added to the number daily. But since we're not there yet, I want to backtrack to right after Jesus had died and had been buried. Matthew records that a rich man named Joseph, not to be confused with Joseph, the husband of Mary, a rich man named Joseph who became a follower of Jesus, came and requested the body of Jesus and had been granted it by Pilate. This man, Joseph, had a tomb cut out of rock. So he placed Jesus' body in it, rolled a stone over that, and left. So now check this out. The very next day, the chief priests and the Pharisees approached Pilate. And here in Matthew 27, verse 63, is where we begin. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, now they're referring to Jesus, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Now, first of all, it has been a long time since I really took a look at the scripture, and I never knew. A lot of times we can just kind of skirt over the scriptures and miss a couple of things. First of all, I don't know how I missed that Joseph was the one that it was the tomb that he got and cut out of the rock, and he was the one that rolled the stone over. But the Pharisees and the chief priests, they were the ones that came and decided to put a seal on and put a guard in front of it. That's what now I understand. But, my focus is this. I'm just so sick of these chief priests and Pharisees, aren't you? I mean, they always coming together with plots and schemes. They always have problems with anything and everything. Kind of sounds like people in the world today, huh? Well, that was my first thought off the top. But as I began to read the text, I was forced to ask the text a few questions. Yeah, I had to ask the text a few questions. One thing I learned about reading the word is that there is usually more to it than meets the eye.
You can never understand the word just from the surface. So I began to look deeper, and let me share with you what I found. In the 28th chapter of Matthew, there is something that only St. Matthew makes an account of. It tells about how Mary went to look at the tomb on the day after he had risen. Now, that's not Mary, the singing group, of course, because this was back in the Bible day. Y'all get my point. I'm just trying to be funny. Well, not funny, but just, yeah. It kind of went with it. Actually, it's Mary and Mary of Magdalene, the two Marys, right? They went to look at the tomb on the day after he had risen. Now, I know that St. Mark also writes about this same event, and he writes about it more descriptively. Let's read that in Mark chapter 16, and I think this is a great piece of great writing here. Mark 16, verse 1 says this: when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. I want you to underline that, underscore it, highlight it, do what you got to do, because in the 8th verse it said, they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, put a pin in that. We're going to come back. So if we flip forward that, to Matthew 28, we get the similar writing in verses 1 through 10, right? Matthew 28. The only difference is that if you keep reading, it looks like St. Matthew decided to keep his smartphone camera recording. St. Matthew 28, verse 11 says, "While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened." Now, wait, hold on. Stop. Remember, go back to Mark 16, right? And I just told you, highlight, underscore, what did it say? It said, they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid, right? So where did these guards get the word from that they went back and told the chief priests? Because they saw it. They were there. They were watching. Here we go. Somebody got to go and be a little tattletale, huh? But wait, is that what it is? Remember when I told you earlier that you can't look at the surface of the text? Let's keep reading, and I'll explain to you what my point is. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money. Now, this is Matthew 28, verse 12. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money. Those same soldiers that told the story and told the chief priests everything that had happened, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. So there it is. They decided to take the money and tell a lie. But why? Was it because they wanted to be richer than they were before? That might have a little to do with it. Because they wanted to get with those ladies and the ladies wouldn't give them the time of day? That's a speculation off the surface. Or was it because they just really hated Jesus and all those who supported him? There probably was some hatred. But as I began to look deeper and do some research, what I found was quite simple but quite insightful. Do you not realize that if a prisoner got away and it was proven, or if a body was taken from the tomb, and there was a lot of that grave robbing going on, right? So if a body was taken from the tomb and it was proven that the Roman soldier was asleep, that soldier would be killed? Are you aware of that? Right. So think about that. So, yes, In addition to that, no doubt those in charge of that soldier would suffer some recourse as well. So they did this out of fear. Not that it makes it okay, but it kind of gives me some thoughts and insight about our country and our world at large. So I begin to think about how in our world and in our country, we've been experiencing a lot of controversy, but it's nothing short of what has been going on in the world, you know, for a long time, right? Like, we have all these things coming up, and, you know, they talk about transgender bathrooms, and they're changing all these laws, and, you know, making marijuana legal, and doing all this stuff. And my first response when I see these things happening is like, what is going on? And people don't want to stop sinning, and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And some of that may be true. That may be true. It may very well be true that people don't want to come out of sin. But what we're missing here, everyone, is what I missed and what God has really opened my eyes to, is that we're missing what God really wants us to see. Because trouble and strife and all this sin and all this, you know, stuff has been going on for centuries and thousands of years. Think back to when Moses was trying to lead the people and they decided to just go buck wild and act crazy when he went up to get the Ten Commandments. Think about that. I don't know any pastor that has the strength to deal with that kind of foolishness. I mean, I'm sure there's some crazy stuff going on in our churches. I know there is, but that is just too much. Okay, well, here's my point. I think we're missing what God really wants us to see. And you know where it points back to? It points back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But check this out. Even in the verse that we were reading, even in the chapter we were reading, in the book of Matthew, I believe it's 28, right after those soldiers were bribed to keep that story quiet and to tell a different story, do you notice that right after that comes the Great Commission and the Great Commandment? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, commanding them to observe and obey and teach, you know, disciple them and make disciples. You know, that was a commandment of the church, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. So I thought about that and I'm going, oh, that's what it is. We're not to trip out about all these laws they're changing. Yes. Please go and vote. Yes, please be active in the community. Yes, you know, do all the things we can do. But don't forget that the reason for most of the sin and most of the stuff that's going on in the world today is because people are hurting. People are broken. People have been abused. People have been mistreated. If you look at the stories of anyone who is dealing with from my experience, and you know, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a, you know, psychoanalyst or anything like that, but if you look at the stories of most people that are prostitutes or that are on drugs or that are dealing with deep, you know, homosexuality and all this other stuff, most of them have been abused, have been abandoned, have been, and some of us have too, but I'm saying a lot of times those sins and those things come from abused places. People have been so hurt and so damaged that they have to do something. They do something to answer that sin and that broken place or that empty place that they feel, such as we did, many of us, such as were some of you. Some of us were on drugs. Some of us were in trouble, in deep sins and some crazy stuff. And so what God wants us to do is not get up and make Facebook posts about how, you know, these sinners and they need to get it together and y'all ain't right and y'all running back and sleeping with this and that and doing this. That's not our job. Our job is not, because the Bible even says that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So what's our job? Our job is to be the church. And being the church does not mean we be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and go quote the laws and tell everybody how wrong they are and how sinful they are and how they're going to hell. And if they don't get right, you know, hell and damnation is for you. That's not our job. Our job is to not condemn, but our job is to love. That's it. And that's what we're missing. If God has given us a great commandment and a great commission is that to teach people and to love people and to encourage them. Now, I'm not saying to say to them, you know, don't tell them that their sin is wrong. Don't tell them that, you know, don't tell them that what their future could be if they don't get right. I'm not saying that. But I think what we're missing is the love part. We're missing the wrapping our arms around people. And you know, people used to say this, you know, you can't scale a fish until you catch it, right? And so that is so, so very true. We have to learn how to love people to life. Love people to life. Love them into the arms of Jesus. And guess what? Even if they never change, even if they never come out of sin, even if they never turn around and never decide to stop doing what they're doing, that's not our job. Our job is to love them. Love one another, love God, and love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. And so all I'm saying, y'all, today is that we as a church should get more excited now. We as Christians should get more excited now, because the more stuff we see, that's the more opportunity we have to reach out and love somebody. I don't have nothing deep, y'all. I'm just saying that I realized something, and I wanted to share it with you, is that there's a lot of hurting people. We can sit up here and focus on all the stuff we want to about how kids are disrespecting adults and how this and that and all that. We can complain until the cows come home about everything that's going on in the world. But at the end of the day, who are we going to love to life? Who are we going to reach out to and show them that the heart of Jesus, and that if they never ever change, if they never ever turn around, one thing that they cannot say is that God doesn't love them. One thing that can, even if they do say it, they will know in their heart that that's not the truth, and it's going to have to happen through us. God bless you. I'm going to pass the call on as we begin our time of prayer.
Praise God. God, we come thanking you and praising you for a brand new day. God, we thank you for another opportunity to come before you boldly, Lord God. So we thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful declaration that Brother Marcus has shared with us, Lord God. Pardon me. God, it is in you we live and we move and we have our being, Lord God. So, God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that we are a purpose-driven ministry, that we are purpose-driven individuals, that we are purpose-driven church, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God. God, we ask now that you would hear our petitions, you would hear our faintest cry, you would hear our heart's cry, you would hear, you know us all. Name by name, hair by hair, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, that you know us and you know our actions, you know our deeds, you know everything that we do, even before we think to do it, Lord God. But God, our prayer is that we would imitate and emulate your ways. That's what being a disciple is, Lord, being a follower of you, Lord God, so that our ways would imitate you, emulate you, Lord God. Our ways would act like you. It goes back to WWJD, what would Jesus do? Lord God, what would you do, Father? What would you do, Lord? And so I pray now, Lord God, that we would that would stay on our mind, that we would process things just through that, Lord God, that we would continue to serve you, continue to praise you, Lord God. God, that we're asking now for holy boldness. We're asking now for a deeper understanding of your word, Lord God. Come praying, Lord God, that we would walk in the spirit, Lord God, constantly, Lord God, that we would become closer and draw nigh thee, Lord, that you would put men and women of God in our ways, Lord God, that we would you nurture us and that we would be nurtured, Lord God, through their life experiences and through their walk and through their talk, oh God. God, we ask now that those that are on the prayer list, that are on the prayer list of every church, Lord God, but are on our Declaring Three prayer list, on our line, Lord God, that you would hear them, Lord God, that you would breathe on them, Lord God, and that, God, that we would, excuse me, I'm so sorry, that we would be able to, through prayer, Lord God, see the light, Lord God, that at the end of the tunnel, Lord God, that we would submit ourselves and submit our prayer requests to you, knowing, Lord God, only that you, Lord, has the power, Lord God, to hear it, Lord God. So now bless every prayer request in Jesus' name as I pass the call.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah to your name, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your word, Lord God. Thank you for the things that you're teaching us, Lord God. Thank you for this declaration, Lord God, because it's again reminding us that we have to walk in love, Lord God. The love that you have placed in us, Lord God, because you are a God of love and we're created in your image and after your likeness, Lord God. That love is in us, Lord God, and it's deep in us, Lord God. So I'm asking you to release the depths of that love from us to flow to others, Lord God. It's that love that you have given us, Lord God, that you want us to walk and touch people and have them to understand who you are. Lord God, we thank you for the love that we receive from you. We thank you for the love that you've given us, Lord God. So, Lord God, I ask you right now that you release that love that's locked down, Lord God. For those that are hurting, I ask you to heal them, Lord God, so that love can come out, Lord God. For those that have been abused, Lord God, I ask you to heal that, Lord God, and to help them to release that love, Lord God. That love is important, Lord God, and we recognize that it's about loving people, Lord God, and it's about forgiving them for what they've done and loving them, Lord God. Help us to forgive, Lord God, no matter what it is. Help us to not see the issue, Lord God, but help see that this is someone that you created, Lord God, and we have to love them. Lord God, help the marriages, Lord God. Strengthen them, Lord God. Help the people in the marriages, Lord God, to recognize that the person that they're there with, they're there to love, Lord God. Even though they make mistakes, Lord God, they're still to love them, Lord God. They're still to give love and to recognize that this is a part of them, Lord God. They took the vow to love this person till death did them part, Lord God, but it's about loving them, Lord God. And sometimes the love seems difficult, Lord God, but help us to remember that Jesus walked in this earth, on this earth, Lord God, and had to deal with some difficult things. Help us to remember, Lord God, that it's about loving regardless of what they've done, Lord God. We have to love them, Lord God. So, Lord God, ask also for those that are in, for those of our families that are unsaved, Lord God, we ask that you help us to walk in love with them. Because sometimes what they do and say, Lord God, are difficult to deal with. Sometimes the things that they do, Lord God, causes us problems, Lord God, but we have to love them. So help us to learn how to love even with that, Lord God, in those difficult times. For those that are at our jobs, Lord God, we ask that you help us to walk in love with them, especially with the employers or those that are in charge. They make difficult decisions. They make decisions sometimes, Lord God, that don't seem to be beneficial to us as employees, Lord God, but we ask that you help us to walk in love and even in that, Lord God, because we know that all things work for our good. So we have to trust you, Lord God, and learn to love them no matter what they do and what they say, and to keep them lifted in prayer, Lord God. So help us to walk in love in that so that people will understand it's not about what they're doing. It's about walking in love. And also, Lord God, for our neighbors, help us to walk in love with them, Lord God. Sometimes they say and do things and cause issues, Lord God, that are difficult for us to deal with, Lord God, because this is a difficult world. But we have to remember we have to walk in love, Lord God, and that love is very important. So help us to walk in love as you have called for us to walk in love. Help us to be at peace with the things that are going on, Lord God, and to trust you and to keep our eyes on you. It's not going to be easy, Lord God, because you didn't say it would be. But, Lord God, help us to remember that the love is the most important thing. We're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We're to love you first, and we love you first, Lord God. So we're trusting in you, and we're following you and glorifying you in what we do. And, Lord God, for those that are our enemies, Lord God, our enemies, those are the ones, Lord God, that we really have to learn how to love, Lord God, because when someone does this wrong, Lord God, we always look at them and we look at what they've done, and pride can come up, Lord God, which is an abomination to you, but it comes up, anger, a lot of things come up, Lord God, that shouldn't come up. So help us to not follow those things. Help us to release those things. Help us to give forgiveness and to not walk in unforgiveness. Help us to walk in love, Lord God. Help us to remember to love each person as we love ourselves. And, Lord God, if we don't love ourselves, help us to learn how to love ourselves. Help us to learn how to walk in love. Help us to learn how to receive love. And help us to be the love that you have called for us to be. Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all that you're giving us. We thank you for all that you're doing. We lift up those that have authority over us. Lord God, we lift up the people in the presidency, in the White House, in the Congress. We ask, Lord God, that you give them love, Lord God. Help them to stop seeing things the way they see it and to start helping people as opposed to hurting them, Lord God. Help us to walk in love even if we're around those, Lord God. So glorify yourself in us with your love and glorify yourself with us in our walk, Lord God. And we thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Lord God, bless those that have gone before me and those that come after me on this call and help them to walk in love also. And we give your love to each person and glorify yourself with us in Jesus' name as I pass the call.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for another day, another opportunity, Lord God, to cry out to you, Lord God, and to reverence you, Lord God, to praise you, Lord God. Father God, today I say thank you, Lord God, for teaching us, Lord God, how to love, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for loving on us first, Lord God, tugging at our heart, Lord God, giving us the heart and the mind, Lord God, and the desire, Lord God, to be saved, Lord God, to repent, Lord God. So this morning, Lord God, I ask for forgiveness, Lord God, for all of my sins, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we have so many things, Lord God, to be thankful for. So many things, Lord God, to be grateful for, Lord God. So this morning, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your love, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for teaching us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity, Lord God, to be taught. Lord God, we have, I didn't hear all the prayer requests this morning, Lord God, so I just want to stand in agreement, Lord God, and believing, Lord God, that you sit high, Lord God, and that you see all, Lord God. You know the ins and outs of what's needed, Lord God, so I want to say thank you, Lord God. For the answering of our prayers, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us the ability, Lord God, to love on one another, Lord God. Lord God, we have our prayer list, Lord God, of our loved ones, Lord God, that's been deployed, Lord God, those that are serving in the armed forces, in the military, Lord God, protecting this great nation, Lord God. So this morning, Lord God, I want to say thank you, Lord God, for covering our loved ones, Lord God, that we have on the list, Lord God. Each and every family member and loved one, Lord God, that are serving, Lord God, in our armed forces, we say thank you, Lord God, for covering them, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for protecting them, Lord God. Lord God, I lift up this nation to you as well, Lord God. And I pray your continued covering over this nation, Lord God, from the White House, Lord God, all the way down to the mayor's office, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Every city and county and state, Lord God, from coast to coast, Lord God, we pray your protection, Lord God, over this nation, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We pray for your influence, Lord God, on the new chief commander that's coming into office, Lord God, in the United States, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that your influence, Lord God, is present, Lord God, in their cabinet, Lord God, that they may continue, Lord God, to lead this nation, Lord God, under your godly guidance, Lord God.
for that, Lord God. I say thank you, Lord God. Lord God, every pastor, Lord God, that we have written down on our list, Lord God, that is connected, Lord God, to this prayer line, declare victory, Lord God. I lift them up to you this morning, Lord God. Every teacher, every pastor, every evangelist, Lord God, hallelujah. Every name, Lord God, that we have written down on our prayer line, Lord God, on this prayer list of pastors, Lord God, I pray your protection over them, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, hallelujah, that you continue to pour into them, Lord God, as they pour out and minister to the flock, Lord God. And, Lord God, prepare the pastor call, Lord God, I just want to call out the names, Lord God, of the men, Lord God, that have loved on me, Lord God, that have spoken into my life, Lord God, that have spoken into me, Lord God. I pray your protection, Lord God. Hallelujah. Over their lives, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you continue, Lord God, to carry them, Lord God, and to cover them, Lord God, and to protect them, Lord God. Hallelujah. James Lee Brown Jr., Lord God, I call him, I lift his name up to you this morning, Lord God. I pray that bless him, Lord God. Hallelujah. Him and his household, Lord God. Cover him today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Pastor Brian Franklin, Lord God. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord God. Cover him, Lord God. Him and his household, Lord God. Hallelujah. Bless him right now, Lord God. Hallelujah. Dr. Delmore Tillis, Lord God. Cover him right now, Lord God. I lift their names up to you right now, Lord God. Bless him, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Bless him, Lord God. Cover them, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. For speaking love, Lord God, into this vessel, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We say thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the power of love. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray as our pastor call.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, come to you thanking you again, God, thanking you for another week, another day, another hour. Thank you for this moment, Lord God. This moment right here, right now, while I breathe, Lord God, the things that we take for granted, like breathing, blinking. Lord, I thank you for it, because without you, we would not be able to do nothing. Thank you for the way you designed us and created us, Lord God, because you created us to worship you and to praise you, Lord God. Though we don't do it all the time, I thank you for this time spent together on this morning, Lord God, that two or more are gathered together in your name, so we know that you are in the midst. And with you being in the midst, Lord God, we know that it is okay to praise you, to honor you, and to glorify your name. We thank you for it. Thank you for, again, a demonstration and an illustration of your love for us by waking us up, Lord God. Let alone that you died for us, Lord God, that we might be reconciled to you, Lord God, and forgiveness of our sins. But you woke us up again this morning. There are some that didn't make it through the night, Lord God. So we thank you for being here today. Thank you for all that's been said, all the prayer requests, Lord God, all the admiration, the love that we have for you, Lord God, because you taught us how to love one another, Lord God. And I pray that we continue to grow in love for one another, Lord God, that we will treat people better than we've done so far, Lord God. Treat people better than we've done in the past, Lord God, and look forward to a future of loving one another, Lord God, because I know that you're not going to let us fail, Lord God. You're going to help us as we've asked, as we pray, Lord. Help us to love one another even better. So we thank you today, Lord God. I pray for those who are sick and shut in. I pray for those, Lord God, who have had a struggle this week, Lord God, even those that may be struggling on this morning, Lord God. I pray for those, Lord, who are going to the doctor, Lord God, who are going to get reports on this or that about their health, Lord God. I pray for those that even have gotten a negative report from the doctor, Lord God, that you will turn things around, Lord God. There are many of us walking around, Lord God, with sickness and with illness in our body, Lord God. I pray that we continue to latch on to you because you are the joy and the hope of our strength, Lord. So thank you. I thank you for all people, Lord God, who are on this line. under the sound of my voice, Lord God, that we love you, that we honor you and praise you. Thank you for the declaration that Brother Marcus gave this morning, Lord God. We thank you for all that's being said, Lord God, and looking forward to what's going to be said and what's going to be discussed, Lord God, as it encourages us, Lord, to be a better people. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for everything, Lord God. You're so good to us. You've been so kind. You've been so wonderful. Thank you even for the discipline, Lord God, because your word tells us you discipline those who you love. Thank you, God. Sometimes we don't understand, Lord God, how you do things that you're doing, why you do it, but we do know that you love us. So, God, I'm not going to belabor it too long. Just want to thank you, honor you, glorify you. I pray that you answer the prayer requests that have been requested of you, Lord God. I pray, God, that you will continue to help us to continue to move forward in the right and positive things that we're doing in your honor. Thank you, God, that we have family members in our families, Lord God, that we love, that we care about, even the ones, the families that are going through some dysfunctional times right now, Lord God. I pray that that you will step in and miraculously perform a deed, Lord God, that will get people to have clear minds, Lord God, that we will continue to just grow in knowing of you, Lord God. Pray that we love those people, Lord God, who is hard to love. Pray that we will love that stranger, Lord God, that is in need, that man, that woman, that child, Lord God, who is less fortunate. You have given us great opportunity, Lord God, and to do something for someone else, Lord, no matter how small it may be, because sometimes the small things that we do can really mean a lot to someone, Lord God, who hasn't maybe had a hug from someone in a long time or an encouraging word spoken to them, Lord God, or a smile or a handshake. I pray, God, that we will, from this day forward, be a better people, Lord God, that we might be agents and soldiers in your army, Lord God, that people will see that we are and know that we are standing flat-footed on the word of God, and that it is being manifested in our lives so that we might be representative of the God that we serve. So, Lord, we just thank you, praise you, honor you, and glorify you. As we take our phones off mute, Lord God, just to give you praise, just for all of us to say thank you, Lord, all of us to give you glory, I just thank you for this opportunity,
thank you,
Lord
Father.
God.
We thank
every
you, Father,
day
for this
we wake
day.
Up.
Hallelujah. God. Glory to your name,
it's been
O God.
Closer
praise
to
Lord,
you
Lord,
to
Lord,
gain
God.
Favor.
Thank you for
you,
your
Lord,
Holy
God.
Spirit, O God, to lift down the hands of God. We honor you. We glorify you.
Thank you, Father
God.
God.
We praise your holy name.
Thank
you, Lord Jesus. You're worthy, O God. You're so worthy, God. We glorify you on today.
We thank you. We've learned.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Praise you. All things.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't seem to make sense, Lord God.
Thank
you. Pray even when we're going through some trouble and tough.
Thank you, Lord.
But on the other side, we see, God, that we've grown and we've become stronger in that, Lord God, that it tends to make sense by and by.
Hallelujah. Thank you, O God, for the breath of life, O God. Thank you for watching over us as we slept last night. Thank you that you let no hurt, harm, or danger come nigh to us, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, use us for your glory, O God. Continue to let our light so shine, all of the flame out, that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That mother. That father who's dealing with the death of a loved one, definitely young one. Bless his nation, Lord God. Bless you. Bless the Lord to a new election season.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Another day, Lord God. Another opportunity, Lord God. Hallelujah. To do your will, Lord God. Another opportunity, Lord God. Another day, Lord God. To do better, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For the health and strength, Lord God, in our limbs, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for those that have loved on us, Lord God, and for those that have spoken into us, Lord God. Those have
who have encouraged us, Lord God. I say thank you, Lord God, and I lift them up to you, Lord God, and I pray, Lord God, that you rejuvenate them, Lord, that you continue, Lord, to cover them, Lord God. Joseph Jones, Lord God, bless him this morning, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for his faith, Lord God, and his courage, Lord God, to speak into men, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Bless him this morning, Lord God. Cover him, Lord God. Hallelujah. Him and his household, Lord God. For him, Lord God. We say thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the God in these men, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Charles, Lord God, I lift him up to you this morning, Lord God. Cover him, Lord God. Oh, we say thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for his courage, Lord God, and for his faith, Lord God, for his willingness, Lord God, to speak into men, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. I say thank you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, your covering over him and his household. Thank you, Lord God. Pastor Kevin Hope, Lord God, I say thank you, Lord God, and I lift him up to you this morning, Lord God. I say thank you, Lord God, for his willingness, Lord God, and for his courage, Lord God, to speak into men, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God, for your love, Lord. Thank you for that declaration, Lord God. Hallelujah. Reminding us, Lord God, to love. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Jesus. We won't quit, Lord God. We won't quit, Lord God. Hallelujah. We will cry out to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We will praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We will honor you, Lord God. Hallelujah. In the blessed name. Ah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes. Your will, Lord God. Your will, Lord God.
I will do that.
Yes, Lord.
In it.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. I'm glad, so thankful everyone decided that they would wake up this, that didn't decide that you would wake up, but God blessed you with giving you a wake-up call this morning. So as we continue into our conversation of love, life, and victory, I turn this call over to our hostess this morning, if you will.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. Hello and welcome again to Declare Victory. My name is JC and I've been your hostess for today. I hope you have been blessed by the call. Were there any first-time visitors that did not get to say hello? All right. Were there any family that joined a little late and did not get to say hello and would like to?
Good morning, it's Pretty Patrice. Good morning, family.
Good morning, Pretty Patrice.
Good morning, Sister Carolyn. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Pretty Patrice. Good morning, family.
Good morning, it's Monique.
Good morning, Monique.
Good morning, it's Josiah.
Good morning, little one. Good morning, Josiah. Good morning, Anthony. Hey, Anthony. Good morning, it's Dijon. Good morning, Bijan. Good morning, Grandmother.
Hey, Grandma.
So sweet.
Hey. Good morning, family. Hey, good morning,
Tanisha. Good morning, Tanisha.
Mm-hmm.
I heard someone else.
Lisa.
Oh, hey, Lisa.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, family.
Good morning, it's Ravonda.
Good morning, Ravonda.
Good morning, it's Gail.
Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Gwen.
Good morning. This is Deborah Evans.
Good morning, Deborah Evans. Anyone else? Okay, well, we hope that you can join us for the next segment of the call, which is the Love, Life, and Victory portion. We thank you and have a blessed day. I now pass the call.
Marcus said he had a field trip to go on. He wasn't going to be able to host it.
Right. I remember him saying that. So, is someone going to take over for Marcus, or are we not going to have a Love, Life, and Victory portion?
Brother Tim, I'm at work, and I'll be actually too loud or too noisy here at work. Are you available to host the Love, Life, and Victory?
I can try. I did join in late. But based on some of the things that Marcus had spoken about, is there anyone on the call that would have a comment? If you can comment without necessarily a question being asked, anyone that did get on the call and hear the whole declaration, is there anyone? Because we can't talk about God's word.
I just want to make a comment that I appreciate the work that Marcus put into that, and it was nice to hear him change up and use scriptural text. I love that. The thing I also appreciate is that, yes, we need to love, but he did not leave out the fact that we got to speak the truth, and we got to speak the truth in love. There's a very fine way to do that. So I could so appreciate the declaration, because if you tell the whole truth, sometimes the truth hurts, and it can be painful if a person's not ready to hear it or whatever it is, you know, because the word of God is offensive. So you can sugarcoat it, try to cover it up, and do all that kind of stuff to it, but Jesus never did that. But he did speak in love, and he met that person where they are. So I think there's a very strategic and a certain method to ministering the gospel, and even sometimes without even opening our mouth. Just the way we live our lives and how we love on people. And they will know that we're, you know, Christ's disciples by the love that we have one towards another. So that was super good for me this morning. Thank you.
Right.
Hey, Tim.
I think that looking at the part of where the guards were paid money to change the story or to lie about what had happened, it is probably, if not the first and earliest story. Well, it is one of the power and the influence of money. There was also where old boy was paid money to divulge where Jesus' presence was or to point him out. But it shows us the power and the influence that money will have on people, and that money will get you to lie, steal, and cheat. I mean, these soldiers were paid to fabricate a story as to the truth and what really happened. Someone's got their line open. So these soldiers were paid this money to lie about the tomb opening. And isn't that a shame that money can do that to people, can make us lie? The power that money has to make us change our story. And we see it, and then we sometimes have to ask ourselves a question. How much money would it take for us to change our story? Or how much money would it take for us to lie about something? And thinking that maybe, well, you know, nobody's going to find it. It's a little bitty lie. How much money would it take?
Brother Jim.
Yeah, Adrian.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was dealing with some things that were going on at my job, and the Lord gave me that our jobs have us do things that we shouldn't do. Our jobs require us to treat people differently in some cases. And the question also is, are you going to, like, he brought it to me as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't eat the food. They wouldn't well, they wouldn't yield to the idol that was placed in front of them. You know, they wouldn't bow to the idol. And our jobs put an idol before us. You either do what we tell you to do, or you get fired. And the first thing is our fear of being fired. But the thing is, we're not to bow to that idol that the job puts in front of us. We're to trust God, because that person is trying to get us to do those things that are wrong, can be taken out or be moved to somewhere else, and you still have your job. But the fear of losing our job will make us not do what we know to do that is right. So the question comes is, who do you believe? Are you going to believe God, or are you going to believe the job? And even if they do throw you in the fire, God is still there with you. As he was with them, he will be with you, and he'll protect you. So our job can put us in that point where we will, I have seen people lie and fabricate things that they shouldn't fabricate, all because of a job or all because of their position. So we have to look at, this is a real thing, and it happens in our jobs, it happens in our lives, it happens around us. And it's not about trusting him, it's about trusting God, because jobs come and go, but God is continual forever. So we have to keep our eyes and trust in him.
I think Sister Dee Dee Mike was going to say something. I may have overstepped some people that wanted
to. Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just trying to touch bases when you asked the initial question, and Lisa answered to add on to what she said. Our job as believers is really not, and I think Mark is so much, is so timely, but it's a daily reminder of the love walk. And it is a big difference with condemnation versus conviction. And I'm glad Lisa pointed out that even though he loved us, he will correct who he loves, but it's a love, that four-letter word is missed a lot with us because, I mean, Marcus' declaration was so rich as believers, and as we witness, our witness has to still be sweet. Yeah, you have to get people correct them in love, but even in that, I think it's so important to really watch how we witness. Again, thankful for Sister Lisa's reminder, because it is the truth, and the truth will hurt before it corrects or it feels good, but just be careful in witnessing. I think for me, I've been hurt, and I'm sure everybody online has church hurt by those that you look up to, and then they'll come and give you a word. But be careful when you're witnessing. You know what I mean? Just kind of make sure as you're witnessing that your motives, because God knows the heart. We may appear like we have it all together, and we might quote the scripture correctly or think that we have the right to tell somebody else how to live their life. But you just have to really be careful and take it back to the word, because it really is all about love. It's our command is to love people, not to beat them down, not to make them look like, act like, walk like, talk like we think they should, but just remind them what God says and what the word says, and just walk in love, like real love, if that makes any sense. So it's so much that I got out of the share. And, Tim, thank you for your prayer this morning. Thank you for just stepping up, brother. It's always good on Fridays to hear my brothers. I mean, y'all really don't know how good it is to hear the brothers on the line praying and encouraging and speaking life. So I just want to thank you, Tim. And, Brother Marcus, continue to lift him up as he's on that field trip. Jesus, it'll be a good day. So thank you, Brother Tim. Love you.
Well, thank you. When I think about the Word of God, the instruction of God, like Diddy said, walking in love, if that is the forefront of our day, of our waking up, we would be better. If when we wake up and say, today I'm going to love someone. See, because we communicate with people all day, whether we're driving our cars, whether we're in the grocery store, whether we're on our jobs. We communicate with people every day, whether it's over the telephone, you may have that kind of job. But when we wake up, and we wake up to walk in love, I think that we will treat people better. But we have to understand, when you think about every day we're on this line, every Sunday we get a message, You know, and I may have said this before, how many messages must we hear in order for us to be right? How many sermons must we hear? How many times we must be encouraged? It just seems like it's such, when are we going to learn how to do it right? You know, and I'm not saying that, I'm just talking out loud now. When, you know, it's a constant reminder that we have to work hard to love people. It's not always easy. Things that make us mad, somebody, you know, it's usually somebody making us mad versus something making us mad. You know, you don't necessarily get mad because you get caught by a red light, but sometimes we do.
Hey, Tim.
But we get upset. Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. This is Cindy. Mark, I think Marcus gave a beautiful, such a heartfelt declaration. I mean, it was really inspiring, just reminding us, you know, about loving people. And what really stuck out for me is we have to remember not to judge people, not to be so judgmental. I mean, we want to help people. We want to, do our best to help people get on the right path. But we got to, you know, get out of that self-righteous and whose sin is worse than the other sin. And, you know, and that's all a part of loving people. But that really stuck out for me. We got to remember not to judge people. So that was awesome, a great reminder about love and not being so judgmental. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tim, how about when, you know, when somebody wants the truth from you and you've been so used to not really always, you know, taking people's feelings in consideration, because sometimes that's what we do. And I believe that, you know what, we're not really responsible for people's hearts, but when people want the truth from you and you've been so used to practicing so much restraint in telling people the truth that even when they want it, it's very difficult for you to even say it. You know, because I believe that we have to really make sure that we have balance even in that, you know, that we're honest with people when they ask us for the truth.
You know what, Ravonda, I think someone was going to say something before I speak. Somebody's, you're breaking up?
Yes, somebody's phone is breaking up. Yeah, I'm sorry if I kind of missed that, but that was my little piece in it.
Okay, getting that part about telling the truth. Some people, well, some situations.
Now you're breaking up.
Okay, I don't want to break up. Mm-hmm. I actually have 5 bars on my phone. It looks pretty good, but when people ask for the truth, it has been said before that they don't really want to know the truth. Now, I'll just put that out there. But when people ask you for the truth, we should tell the truth. But I think where it comes in is our attitude or our tone of voice or our posture when we tell the truth. Because I think that when we feel the person is being asked the question, if they feel some kind of way about you or about the subject that they're asking about, if we're feeling some kind of way, that's when we got to check our attitude, because I've been wanting to tell you the truth for a long time. I'm so thank you, God, that this person asked me, because I can't wait to tell them what I've been wanting to tell them all along. Sometimes we grab that kind of attitude because we feel a certain kind of way about it. And see, God, I believe that when that person asks for the truth, it's not about them always, it's about you. How are you going to act? How are you going to respond to that person? Are you going to respond in love, or are you going to respond with an attitude? That takes love to answer someone. It takes love and concern to answer a question of someone asking the truth. Yeah, somebody's breaking up. You know, I have a friend who is suffering from cancer.
Okay.
And a couple of weeks ago, she told the doctors when they came in, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth about my situation. And the doctors told her, based on their research, science, and all that they've done, there's nothing else they can do for her. And she said, in your humanness, how long would you say I have to live? Tell me the truth. What do you think? Because I know God has it, but what do you think? And they told her 6 months. But my point is that she asked them for the truth. And I believe that people want to know the truth, but people are not always able to handle the truth.
Yeah, but I think that, you know what, we have to be very careful, you know, to really realize that, you know what, we are not responsible for people's heart, and especially when they want the truth, you know, that's what we have to be okay with how they handle it, you know, because we want people to be all right, but at the end of the day, it's all right enough. You know, it's all right. I want you to be all right, but it's all right enough. And what does all right look like?
Well, let me ask you this. You make me have a question. Does someone need to mute their phone? They might. Maybe. So, Ravonda, let me ask you this. When you say, I think I'm hearing you right. You're saying we're not responsible for their heart. Is that what you're saying?
Right. You know, how people respond, we can't really, it's almost like, you know, we want to control how they respond. Sometimes we do.
Okay.
We want them to be, you know, we want to make sure that they're okay. And that's God's business, you know,
okay.
Right. You got it.
Here's what I want to say then. What if it was your child? You would not feel some kind of way about how your child might react to you telling them the truth about something if they became upset or cried. And would you not try to comfort your child? Because
of course.
If you do, how? Okay. So is it different that we would love you would love your child and not love the other person that God has told us that we should love our brothers and sisters?
Is that you, Tanya, on the BART train that's breaking up?
No, that was not me. I just interjected.
That wasn't me.
You sound like you're on the BART train, though.
I'm in transit. I'm sorry. Now, can you hear me okay?
Now you sound better.
Okay. In response to, I'm not even sure. Were you finished, Tim? I'll wait till you finish. I'm sorry.
No, I wasn't.
Okay,
let me go after you, Tanya. I like to share after you, Tanya.
Okay. I was just saying that, you know, challenging Ravonda just to say that when the truth is being told to, say, a child or a loved one or a kid, that we would feel some kind of way about how they would, you know, respond, that it kind of feels like we might try to be a little responsible for their heart. So what's the difference in another person that's maybe not a family member, but the Lord teaches us to love one another? So would not we want to some kind of way feel, now I'm not saying responsible that we got to go and do something, but, you know, a lot of times if you say, well, listen, you ask me a question, so I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? So I'm going to tell you the truth. You want the truth, I'm going to tell you the truth. So sometimes we preface our answer like that because we do feel some kind of way about how this is going to affect that person. I think. So I don't feel, me personally, I don't feel a total disconnect from that person because now that they asked me for the truth, I told them, and now I've depressed them, and now the rest of their day they're going to be depressed. I'm sorry. I really am. You asked for the truth. I told you. I feel some kind of way, but I can't let that make my day bad. And maybe that's what Ravonda is saying. But go ahead, Tanya.
Hey, this is Tan. So if I understood Ravonda correctly, or what I'm getting from it is that when she said we can't be responsible for their heart, I agree with her. And the reason that I agree is that if I've done my job as far as delivery is concerned, you know, a soft, a grievous word stir up anger, but a soft answer turns away wrath. So there's a way that you can deliver the truth even when it's hard, and that takes practice. But I cannot take responsibility for how they react. I can't control their emotions. I can't control their thoughts. I can't control their thinking. I could have done everything right, and if they're just not in a mood, or if they're not just in the frame of mind to accept what I've spoken to them, even though they may have asked me to tell them the truth, I cannot control that portion of it. Yes, I have concerns. Yes, I believe Ravonda would have concerns. But and even when I walk away from that particular me I'm talking about, if I walked away from that person, you know, I would search myself and say, God, you know, probably, you know, did I do it the right way? You know, their reaction was whatever, but I can't take ownership of that, and I can't be depressed behind that, because that I've spoken the truth, and I've done it in a way where I thought that it was respectable or what have you, even though it may have been hard. I think that, and then my last point is that I think very often people will say, well, I've had people say to me, oh, just tell me the truth. Like I had somebody prepare a pasta dish for me, pesto pasta. I hate pesto pasta. And then she wanted me to tell her what my opinion was. Well, I don't like pasta. It probably was good, but, and I told her, you know, I'm not really a pasta person. So I thank you so much, though, for preparing it for me, but I'm not the best person to judge whether it's good or not. So, you know, was she crushed? I don't think so. She didn't look like she was. Maybe next time I don't know, whatever. Anyway, that's my little 3 cents. Okay, going back.
Okay, well, I agree with that. My only thing was that we just be somewhat concerned about how that person may feel. That's all. Jeff?
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your love. Hallelujah. You know, it's a lot of meat in that declaration. You know, we could draw and take from many different parts of his declaration this morning. But for me, what I kept thinking about, all the men that I feel close to that have loved on me and spoke into my life. And I believe that it takes courage to walk in love, and it's also a process when you look at all of the different attributes of love, how by Jeff being selfish and self-centered, you know, I had to grow out of that in order for me to be able to exercise love. And I was speaking with one of the men just the other day, and he was sharing with me, like, Jeff, you know, what I'm giving you is not for you. It's for you to give back, you know, to share with someone else. So you can't be selfish with it. And, you know, that just, it resonated with me. You know, it's like, okay, you know, everybody have their way of being able to reach out and touch someone. And I know one of the pastors that I fellowship with. He is always so loving and so gentle, and he always share from a place of love. And then there's another pastor I fellowship with that he laid a hammer down, and he always using that shock approach to really get you to wake up. So, but his declaration just really touched me and helped me to just be thankful for all the men that exercise courage and loved on me and spoke into my life, especially you know, when I kept relapsing, or I kept going back to that drug addiction, you know, and the next year they come right back and love on me again, you know, open up their doors to their home to me to get me off the streets. And you know, it takes courage to love, especially for men, you know, with the level of pride and ego that we may have. It really takes courage to function and operate in love. So it's a great declaration. I got so much out of it, but those are some of the things that really stood out for me. The men that really loved on me and spoke into my life.
Thank you, brother. Didi?
Hey, I just, oh my God, this is so, so good, because I just think we have to always factor in the human being part of this thing, this walk, and we have to know that there's a variety of motivations that can factor in to even the truth. You know, is it led because it's a pride in that thing, or anger, or a sense of entitlement, or just really search yourself first? And yeah, even though people ask for the truth, the delivery, Tanya, thank you, because it's not about not caring about their heart, because we know the word says that all a person's ways may seem pure to them, but what are your motives weighed by? And the Lord sees it also. No matter how we think we're affecting someone by telling them the truth, and, you know, if we're really trying to save souls, not candy coating anything, because we know the word, oh my gosh, it'll cut you, but to be clear about, you know, your own motive. So for me, and it's a process for me, even dealing with my mom and my husband and y'all and just myself, to check myself first. I mean, because who am I? I'm so messed up too, and I just cringe, because I, you know, y'all, I tell my story all the time. Growing up in around some, not all, I'm getting better, because it's not all church folks, but there's some really mean Christians that will ride around on a glory cloud with a pencil waiting to just correct you, and then the way they tell you. So that's never what God intended, I don't think. Anyway, that's just me. Not to go around beating people up or waiting for them to make a mistake. It's like you're waiting to, because that's a pride thing, and you want to be careful. That's all I'm saying, because the love walk is that, yeah, correct people in love, because we want to save souls. We don't want people running further away from God because of our personalities. We just have to be careful and always remember we're all flawed too, if that makes any sense. So the same way, you know, we're seeing people, somebody is watching us that same way. You know what I mean? It's like maybe we're not talking. I know me. I have so many issues in my own life, so I can't walk around looking like, I feel like some people do that. It's like you just have a magnifying glass, or you're just waiting to, hey, that's not how you say that, you know. So we just have to be careful and reach souls that way. I don't think we're going to reach souls if we're walking around with a big old super Christian shirt on. That's not ever good either. That's it. I just want to say that. And it's Proverbs 16:2. Just know, God, we think our motives are pure, but God knows everything. That's it.
That right there, you really touched on something for me, because when I was in the Bay Area going to a church, there was a person there that there was something going on with them. And I found myself wanting to tell them about it. And I went back and forth trying to figure out how to tell him. Why did I really want to tell him? You know, and I mean, it was a great challenge. And then I never told him because I couldn't quite pinpoint what I felt was the right motive, if you will. There was a person, this woman, who had her breath was bad. I mean, horrible, horribly bad. And when I would talk to her, or when we would talk, we could be 3 feet from each other, but I would smell it. And I thought, I did some research, and it may not have just been not a brushing your teeth thing, but coming from the inside of the person's body. And I wanted to ask her if she was aware of it or tell her. I never did because I couldn't bring up the nerve to do it. Maybe it was that I couldn't do the nerve. I wanted to tell her in love because I wasn't sure if she knew. You know, sometimes people with bad breath don't know they have bad breath. I didn't know if anyone's ever told her that before. I just don't know. But I wanted to tell her. At one time, I was very, I'm a teller. Because when she all up in my face, it's very irritating. But I could not bring myself to tell her because I started thinking, why do you have to be the one to tell her? I'm sure other people smell it. Maybe someone else should tell her. Maybe they've already told her. Maybe she knows. I mean, that thing beat me up for a long time because I would see her every week, and she's in my face every week, but I couldn't tell her. So I don't even know to this day if I should have or what. I'm not.
But, Tim, can we say that could be selfish? You know, because sometimes it's not even – At that point, it's not even about her. It's about you, but how you feel about it and how you're kind of protecting yourself, you know. And when we say we want to do something in love, it's not really about us. You know what I mean? It's not really about us. It's not about, you know, how do I come out of this, you know, but we want the person to be in a better space, you know. It's kind of weird. It's kind of, you know, it's one of those weird things, you know, when you think about it, you know, she might have a real health issue. It might be a health issue.
That's what I thought. And for me, I didn't know what to do. I mean, because, see, I thought here's the thing. If you see somebody doing something wrong or maybe they're doing it and they don't realize, are we supposed to help our brothers and sisters? Are we supposed to go to them and say, hey, let me pull you to the side. Let me say something. I don't know if you was aware of this, but, you know, you got toilet paper on the bottom of your shoe or whatever it might be. That's what I'm saying. So when do we go to a person to give them corrective comment, or do we just stay in our own lane? That's the thing I'm talking about, because if you go, of course, we're talking about doing it in love and not making love an excuse to complain about something, but to really try to help that person. And so, I mean, I looked at it as a test for me. Why are you tripping, Tim? So what if she got bad breath? Maybe she already knows it. Why you got to be the one to tell her? Maybe you'll hurt her feelings if you do tell her. Maybe she won't speak to you anymore after you tell her. Maybe it is a deeper than just mouthwash, and maybe she won't even talk to you anymore. So
Brother Tim.
Yeah.
Brother Tim.
Jeff, I know you got some answers, brother. Go ahead.
Sounds like it could be that you let the level of love and respect that you had for this sister, you allowed fear to override the love and respect that you have for this sister. Because when we really love someone, we're going to be compelled to share the truth with them in love. Even if we feel we may hurt their feelings, if the love that we have for an individual runs that deep, we have to tell them the truth, you know, and it'll be from a place of love. But it sounds like to me, I can't say it.
I didn't love
like
her
to me.
Like that.
It could be fear. It could be. It could have been fear that hindered you from sharing that fact with her. A true fact that she had that issue, that problem with the smell of her breath. So, but you just answered it. You said you didn't have that much love for her. So therefore,
not like that.
So you just, you know, you passed over the opportunity to share some truth with her that possibly she could have been aware of or she couldn't have been aware of. But if someone shared something with you that respects you and that loves you, they're going to pay attention to it as opposed to someone that's not that close to them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If someone that's really close to me, and, you know, two or three people that's very close to me tell me the same thing, I have to take a look at it. But if it's just a distant partner, like you, man, you number 13. I got, you know, friends that's much more closer to me that I could hear, you know, but you number 13. So what you got to say, I ain't trying to hear that.
Yeah.
So
it's funny. Somebody told me I had bad breath a few days ago. And, and I was like, really? They said like, yeah. And I was like, okay. So I took care of it, but you know, I wasn't offended by it. And you know, It's so I'm glad they did, because I didn't want to go around some other people breathing fire dragon all on them, you know. So
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Hi, good morning. It's Yolandra. Hey, Timothy. I want to just say that I too got a lot out of Marcus's declaration. And, you know, the word for me, love, is huge, you know. And when I think about the mountain, the depth, and the width, you know, oh, my God, of love that Jesus had, you know, trying to follow his footsteps and being that loving in all situations, you know, I, for myself, fall short. But I try to stay cognizant or mindful that I still have much work to do, you know. And so the conversation this morning about being honest with someone, and someone comes up to you and asks you to be honest with them, I don't know where it is in the Bible, but somewhere in the Bible it says that we have a responsibility to let that person know, you know, where they fall short. And I believe that there is a way to tell anybody anything. I think Tanya touched on it. A way to preface what needs to be said. And so, you know, one tool I've learned is to tell them, you know, the good things about them first, the things I appreciate about them, the things I love about them, you know, and then kind of temper that with the things that the things I see that perhaps need to be, you know, looked at, corrected, prayed upon, or what have you. What I've noticed in my own life, if I ask somebody to be honest with me, I already know. For me, I already know to some degree what the issue is. I just need, for me, someone, I just want to know that somebody else see my glaring defects, if you will, as bad as I see them, or, you know, and that's what comes up for me. And you know, I think there is a responsibility that I have to be concerned about how that person walks away feeling, you know. So I need to choose my words carefully and diplomatically and prayerfully and so forth. But I don't know, loving somebody, I mean, that's huge. I mean, wow, when I think about how God loves me and how he forgives me and how he corrects me and how he disciplines me, you know, sometimes it's not always fun. You know, sometimes it's downright painful. But for me, being a child of God, I have to know where the source is and where it's coming from. And it's all for my good. You know, so that's what I wanted to contribute this morning.
Thank you.
Hello.
You ever think about?
Good morning, my brother.
This is Deborah.
Two people.
This is Deborah Yvonne. You can wait, Sister Julia. Oh, you
yes,
can.
Ma'am.
Okay, hon. Thank you. Marcus' declaration really was good, and this is Deborah Yvonne. If you guys didn't hear, but when I left San Antonio last year to come to Seattle, my oldest son came down. Hello?
Go ahead, Deborah.
Okay. My oldest son had came down to San Antonio to help me drive the truck and tow my car back to Seattle, Washington. And the Lord had prepared me. He says, there's going to be some things that I need you to speak to your son. And I could feel the butterflies in my stomach because I didn't want to go there. But the Lord had been talking to me weeks before he even came. And then when he came down a few days earlier, and then I knew that the enemy was working with him because he would just trip out, and I said, oh, my goodness, Lord. And I don't even have to say anything. He'll just trip out sometimes. So anyway, even on the night when we was due to leave, he said he's not going to drive me. And I didn't worry about it. I said, Lord, I'm in your hands. I don't know what you're going to do because I'm your daughter, but I know you're going to do something. If it's for me to drive this great big old truck, you got to give me the encouragement. But anyway, it worked out where he came and drove the truck. But on the road, see, the Lord had it where I'm in the truck, he's in the truck, and he can't go nowhere and I can't go nowhere. And then my son started talking some things, and I was saying to myself, where is this coming from? But, you know, I respect him, and, you know, I love him. So I let him talk and talk and talk. And then I just told him, I said, son, that's your truth, but that's not my truth, and that's not what I seen what happened, and that I respect you and I hear you, but I'm not going to receive it because it's not truly the truth. And then I explained to him, but he was so into his tunnel. But anyway, what the Lord gave me to tell him, and this happened for like 3 days, I had to keep telling him to choose life, not death, choose life, and to explain it to him. And all of our conversations went back to choosing life. And he would get angry at me. And I said, oh, my goodness. But I had to be obedient. And even now, until this day, he knows what the Lord told him was, Mom, I got to choose life in all my choices. I said, yes, son, that's what the Lord been saying to you for the past year. So I was very uncomfortable, but I was obedient unto the Lord. And trust me, that's my baby. I didn't want to go there with him. But the Lord used me to speak to him. And it worked out okay. Even now, you know, he has some issues. But I just love him, and I say what the Lord would have me to say to him. And then he has to take it and make that choice of choosing life. Mm-hmm. That's all. Thank you so much, you guys.
But, Tim, at the end of the day, we still have to remember that we're not responsible for people's heart, how they respond or how they receive the truth. But we are responsible for giving the truth. And I always talk about my front row, you know, that, you know what, I want y'all to be, you know, honest with me when I ask you something or whatever. I am not responsible for how they respond, you know, right. And they know me. These are the people who know me. And when I talk about my front row, these are the people who I go to when I have a difficult situation, when I have proclivities in life that are pressing, whatever, you know, and I give them the leeway to be honest with me and to be dreadful. It don't matter, whatever. I ask them to be honest with me. And so we have to really remember that do we want people to stay where they are or do we want them to be better? And at what point are we willing to give up who we are in the situation to make sure that they're better?
I got a comment I want to make, but Sister Julia, I think had something to say. Sister Julia, are you there?
Yes. Yes, okay. Yes, I am. I'm kind of hoarse, but I had to talk this morning. Good morning to you, brothers. Awesome declaration. you know, sometimes I need someone to talk to me, you know, and bring things to my attention. Maybe I don't understand it, I didn't get it, but, you know, whenever someone talk to me and bring things to me, I can't be angry. All I can be stronger. You made me stronger, made me aware, and now I'm able to, you know, to understand things. So you can't, I won't be angry with you or nobody on the line. I would appreciate everything that you have talked to me about and brought it to my attention. All you're doing is making me stronger and making me thank you, Lord Jesus. So good morning to you. I'm very wholesome. I don't feel good, but I had to come in to say that you will make me stronger for anyone that will come to me and talk to me about myself or whatever's going on. God bless you, my brother, this morning.
Thank you. In commenting on what Deborah Yvonne said, what I got out of what she said was that the Lord told her to have a conversation with her son about a particular thing. And that's wonderful, because it seems like what we've been talking about, we just, you know, someone asks us the question, we're going to jump off and tell them the truth. Well, if the Lord tells us to answer them, or the Lord gives us the way to do it, then I think it's all good. Ravonda, when we talked about the responsibility, where the Bible says, and I agree with you, don't get me wrong, I agree with we're not responsible. Well, we can't. People can respond the way they want to respond, and also with Tanya, what she said. But where it says in the Bible to train up a child in the way he should go, that seems to me that we're given responsibility to teach a child, to train a child, and hopefully what we put into that child will have an influence on how they respond to things that are brought to them as they grow older. And I can hear a parent saying, boy, girl, didn't I tell you not to do that? Didn't I tell you to stop doing that? So if you tell your child, do not put your hand in the cookie jar, and that child does it anyway, can you then say you're not responsible for what they did? If you told them, trained them, now, they might have stepped all out the box and did it, right? Well, let me just, I'm going to say something else. Okay, so I'm just trying to connect those dots. And then this right here, where our laws say if you drink and you drive, or I forget how it is, and you have an accident, that your parents are responsible for the financial damage, you know, and that's just a law situation of someone trying to make you responsible for something that you had nothing to do with. But anyway, someone, you were going to respond, or someone was there. Or did I just confuse everybody? So what I was trying to do is when the Bible says, train up a child and he should go and he should not depart. So I'm saying, do we have some responsibility in what people do based on what we give them? I guess I'm talking about family now.
Brother Tim and Sister, good morning.
Hey. Good morning.
As a parent, I have a responsibility to do my best to get a child, or my children, even my adult children, what thus says the Lord, you know, in a language that they will understand without my expectations on it. Because if I put my expectations on it, sometimes I can get a little forceful with it, you know.
There you go.
I need to remove my expectations in this, give them what thus says the Lord in a manner that they can receive the word. That doesn't, when I have my expectations, I want you to hear it right now, receive it right now, and do it right now. But when I move mine out the way, I just put it out there and let God do the rest, because it's his job to change their hearts. It's not me, because he had to work on my heart. I didn't always hear what everybody said to me. Nobody.
Right.
Most of the time. But see, even with adults who have childlike behaviors, you have to do the same thing. Put it out there and let the Lord do the work. That's that song that goes on. Let the word do the work. And when we let the word is going to bring it to its perfection within that individual. So I have a responsibility as a disciple to train any person that I come in relationship with. We talk about that on this call, about people we are assigned to and assignments. So every person we engage, when we become engaged with them, it's our responsibility as a disciple to plant something.
What about this? What about this argument that people will, when they say, you made me do it. If you hadn't have told me what you told me, I never would have. What about when people try to put blame on you as if though you are responsible for something they did? You told me. I wouldn't have did it if you had. It was your fault. You the one made me do it. What about that? Now we may know that we didn't do, you know, you did it, and we know that's them just trying to blame. But we become sometime engulfed in an argument or a conversation with them because now they're blaming you for telling them the truth because of their action. It's just sad, ain't it? Ain't it sad that people will do that? But people do it.
And that ties into the scripture that was read this morning. When I was a child, I thought it was a child. So even adults do that. Kids do it. That's childish behavior. So you don't have to receive that because you know they're coming from a childish place. It's your fault, blah, 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 blah. When we're children, we don't accept responsibility for our actions. When we have childlike behaviors, we don't accept responsibility for our behaviors. When I was out there running these streets and tearing up Richmond, I didn't take responsibility. It was everybody's fault but my own. But when I matured, I began to take the responsibility for my behaviors and my actions. Again, as a child, you can be 50 years, 60, 70, and still have child behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes my brother, they all going to blame us, mothers and fathers, because they don't want to accept the truth. But you got to continue working with them.
Yeah. So I think that we're pretty much in agreement that, you know, even what Ravonda was saying, that, you know, you can put it out there and people choose how they want to respond to whatever it is, whether it's good, bad, you know, or indifferent. Our responsibility is to tell the truth. That's what we are as Christians to do. We tell the truth. Watch our motives. Watch our tone. Because we know that people are sensitive, because we never know what people are going through when they hear the truth. If they ask you, I think, personally, that we should always answer with a tender answer. Tanya said it, Dee Dee said it. We should always try to be tender in our answer. Depending on that person's personality, some people you can joke, some people you can laugh, some people you can tell them the truth, and however your relationship is with that person. You know a lot of times how you communicate with that person. You know, some people say, oh, girl, this pesto, ugh, I hate it. I don't like this stuff. Give me something else. And you told them the truth that you didn't like the pesto that they spent 2 hours making. Some people you might say, well, you know, I didn't really like, you know, the pesto. I'm not a pesto pasta person like Tanya said. So I think that when it comes down to people that we know, that we are to adjust our tone, adjust our attitude, adjust, you know, because, and sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, all jokes aside, I need you to tell me the truth, you know. And so, yeah, once you tell the truth, then hopefully, I mean, that person may need a hug after you tell them the truth. So our, I don't want to use the word responsibility right now, but our compassion for that person may lead us to hug that person.
And that's what's so awesome, Tim, because it comes down to relationships. And you know what? One of the things that I've heard from my pastor, and he talked about, you know, when you have to really deal with something, the first thing that you have to consider is the relationship.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that as Christians, we kind of throw that out the window with the bath, maybe with bath water sometimes. But it needs to be relational, you know, because I can be more impactful with you because of my relationship than I can with the truth. It's kind of weird. It's a weird way, but if I have a relationship with you, if you can trust me and you know my integrity and you know who I am with you, you can better receive my truth, not my truth, but the truth. You can better receive it. And it's the thing like this. most of the people who know me know I don't like eating out of a paper plate. I love eating out of china and all that kind of stuff, you know, whatever. I love that. Set the table right. And so when you have a table that's set right, the relationship that you have with someone, they better handle the truth when your table is set right. And I think that sometimes we have to be careful how we deal with people. You know, relationship is everything. It's everything. You know, whether it's a short skirt, tight pants, too much cologne, or whatever, it's better when we really get make sure that our relationship with people are, you know, in perspective.
Hey, Tim?
Yes.
Hi, this is Dawn. I totally agree with whomever was just speaking. When we are led or when we are obeying God's command to help somebody with something that they may need to know or if they ask for the truth, is totally based on your relationship with that person. You say, for instance, okay, there are several young ladies at my former church that call me auntie because I'm not quite old enough to be their mother, but I'm too old to be their big sister. So they consider me like an auntie. So they know that I had a child when I was 20. I wasn't married. They know that I was married for a long time and I got divorced. So who am I to now that I feel like, you know, I'm at a bigger place, I'm a lot older, I'm more spiritual, blah, 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 to tell, you know, to scold them for doing the same thing that I've done. So I use my relationship with those young ladies to help to mold maybe some of their decisions. And whenever somebody approaches them or somebody approached me, you know, years back and said, well, I'm going to tell you this in love, but they're using all these harsh words and they, you know, they're not really caring about what they say because they have preferences with saying that this is in love. It is totally not in love at that point. You're just giving me your opinion harshly and you feel like you can do that because you've told me that it's in love. That's not in love because love is not harsh that way. There is tough love, but you have to have a relationship with someone to administer tough love to them. And if you don't have that relationship, they're not going to hear you. As soon as you start on them, they may stand there and they may listen, but they won't hear what you're saying to their heart because you're not coming from that place at that point. You're just coming from a judgmental point, which is why they respond to me the way that they do because I don't come at them like that. I've made mistakes, and I own my mistakes, and I'm learning from them still, even in my age now. My daughter is their age, and, you know, so you have to approach people the way that you would want to be approached. If you have ever done anything wrong in your life, you have to go back to that place when you're trying to correct someone. And you also have to remember that even though you may have been saved your whole life and every scripture in the Bible and all that, you still are not the standard. God is the standard. So you can't, you know, you can guide them the right way if they're wearing something that's too short or whatever it may be. You have to be their example and not their judge because they're not going to hear you. The harsher you come off on them, you can say, you know, I just had it to let it be known and they asked for it, so I'm going to tell them. And, you know, that's all good and that's all dandy, but at the end result is, can they hear you? Or is your ministry of, you know, your self-ministry working for them? Is it effective? Or are you just venting to them about what they're doing?
I'm going to say that's well said, sister. Let me flip it just a little bit. When that
I'm waiting
in
queue, too, Tim. Let's see. I'm going to be in queue for you, Tennis.
I didn't understand you.
I am waiting in queue until you finish.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right. One of the things I wanted to say, I don't think we pointed this out yet. When that person, if we're talking about a person asking you to tell them the truth, maybe they feel, well, maybe they respect you. For them to come and even ask you to tell them the truth, maybe they're already saying, hey, I trust you. You tell me the truth. You understand? Maybe if we think about it that way,
they put us in a place of them. They want to trust us to tell them the truth because maybe other people have been lying to them. Maybe they know the truth and just need you to give them confirmation. So let's look at it from that perspective. Maybe the person is asking the question, trust you enough, and want to hear from you because they know you're going to tell them the truth. They know you go to church. They know you're spiritual. They know you're Christian. They admired you from a distance. And maybe it's coming from that perspective. Go ahead.
I agree. It could absolutely be that. And sometimes I think it is. And with me
knowing
that, me having years on me to know that, I still am going to tell them the truth, but I'm not going to tell them the truth in a harsh way.
Yeah.
Because I want them to still be able to hear what I'm saying to them.
Okay.
In regard to what you said, just said, coming across people in general out at the market or somebody in my neighborhood, they probably wouldn't come up and say, oh, just tell me the truth about X, Y, and Z. But I know that the word says, I am the salt. So everything I say should have some kind of seasoning on it. You know what I'm saying? I should not. But also what I do is I take a minute to pause before I speak. I'm not going to start right wherever I think. Again, it's about what I expect of the person based on whoever it may be, telling them what they should do and you should do this and get to preaching to them. Because if they come in with a situation or a conversation that needs to be had, I'm going to become a real active listener before I open my mouth to speak. And then again, have some salt so that it can be good coming out of my mouth and be good to them when they get it. You know what I'm saying? And I come across a lot of people out in the ministry, in my ministry, strangers, people I've never met. And I just listen first before I open my mouth to speak. And then I say what I'm going to say, and I stop and wait for them to respond again. And it's not a directive. I'm just responding back and forth in conversation with them because most of the time the answers are already inside. They just need to have enough space to start talking about it. If they trust me enough, they will eventually open their mouths and say exactly what it is they're talking about they want to know the truth about.
You're exactly right. I was going to touch on that too. You give people enough time to talk, they'll come up with the right answer themselves.
That's called therapy. Hey, Brother Tim, I just wanted to say that God is so big, and the beautiful thing is that he deals in so many different ways. We're all individual, unique. We have different experiences. And I've had people that I had not even had a chance to establish a relationship with, and just like you were saying, Tim, they were watching me because of my position, because of my role, because of whatever it was. But the Spirit of God in them was drawn to the Spirit of God in me, and they felt led to come to me. So that I didn't have a relationship since then has established relationships, but that's oftentimes how, you know, we talk about, like Ms. D said, the assignments, the connections, the way God yokes people up together, because he does something just like Mary and Elizabeth when, you know, Jesus was in Mary's womb and John was in Elizabeth's womb. They leaped. They had a party pretty much because they can identify. That's just the Spirit of God. So we can't leave out that element that something happens out of our control, the supernatural. I remember one lady, she busted me so hard, and I wasn't in a place to receive, and she told me harshly, but she absolutely told me the truth. And when I came to myself and got a little maturity about myself where I could really think about what she said, it was so spot on true. I guess she could have delivered it differently, but if I had listened right then, I might have done some more examination. But it started to make me think about some things she was saying. So even for us on the call, if we receive something harshly, don't be so offended, but take a look. Like Jeff was saying, your front row, if they went through 15 people, well, sometimes the people closest to us are leery about saying something to us, or they're just used to it, and it's the norm. So don't always look at the information brought from someone that's in opposition to us. Weigh it. Consider it. If it ain't no good, throw it out. But sometimes God will use those thorns in our flesh, those adversaries, to bring something to our attention that we might need to pay attention to. I mean, I'm just taking God out of the box, however he wants to do it. I just want to be more like him, and I want to be better. So I'm not dismissing every single person that comes to me. I'm just weighing it very carefully. But when you know who you are, That's the thing. When you know who you are, nobody should be able to come to you and tell you something different than who you are. And if you're pursuing Christ, I know even with our enemies, he said if our ways are pleasing to him, he'll even make our enemies to be at peace with us. And that's what I'm seeking. You know, everybody's not going to be happy with us. They're just not. People got different stuff that they have to filter through their own lives, because we all come from stuff. You know, so we don't know how they're filtering and processing information. We just got to speak to them.
And Lisa, sometimes, and you know what, Lisa, sometimes we're wrong. You know what, even
Absolutely.
When, yeah, sometimes we're wrong. You know, and we
wow.
have to, even with us who know the truth, who handle the truth, who administer the truth, sometimes we're wrong. And God will allow people to come into our lives and expose us.
Yes,
you know, expose
yes.
us. You know,
Absolutely.
That we don't have all the answers. We really don't, you know. And as much as we would like to think that we're always right and we always do it right or say it right or have the right answer, sometimes we're absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
You know, he checks us. God checks us.
Come on.
You know, He really does. He checks us. And I've had those moments, you know, even with me dealing with the women at the mission, you know, and stuff like that. He checks us. You know, no, you were wrong. You could have did that better than what you did. And he shows me how I have to go and correct it or whatever. And sometimes it's after class. Sometimes it's during the class. It doesn't matter. You know, we're change agents. We don't know how God's going to use us. We have to be available for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the heart of people. Yes, but God does, and he knows what they need. He knows what we need as well, because our iron sharpens iron. I love y'all. Thank y'all.
Yeah. I want to thank you, ladies, for your time. Also, too, Miss D. Miss D, want to thank you, too. I know Miss D was almost finished, and I think we kind of stepped on her. Real quick, too, about what Lisa said about...
Okay.
What Lisa said about sometimes, and the young sister that spoke a little while ago, sometimes people do say things to us harshly. And I will say this about me being transparent. I can be very argumentative at times, but sometimes in an argument, when I'm talking to someone who may not be getting it or become very upset and emotional, I will say, and I have said, take the emotion out, because what I'm saying is right and true. But because we're so sensitive, we argue with our emotions a lot. But a lot of times if you take the emotion out, let's just look at the facts, and you'll see, like Lisa was saying, sometimes the truth does hurt, but the truth is the truth. Now, because you don't want to receive or accept it because you're being emotional, have you ever said something to somebody, it was right, but then you're in an argument because it's emotional now. Their feelings are involved. It's still the truth. And feelings does not change the truth from being the truth. It's still the truth. You just mad. You're upset. You tripping. And that's emotional. But it has nothing to do with the truth. So we just need to, you know, get it together. And let the truth be the truth. Let the truth be the truth. The truth will set you free. So it's 8 o'clock. It's actually 8:05.
Tim. This is Ruth. Can I say something really quick?
Go ahead, Ruth.
Hey, you're speaking about truth, and I heard someone mention about kids and family. And, oh, gosh, I think the hardest truth to tell is to your children. And my daughter, 14, I'm asking you guys to lift up in prayer. She's like, you know, I know God, I love God, but I don't know about all this stuff. Oh, what stuff? Child, you grew up in the church. You know, you hear your mom on the prayer line and all this stuff. But I know she's going to have to know God and have a relationship for herself. So she's going through a lot right now. And the Lord woke me up at 11 o'clock. I know he did, because I got up and she was just, I don't know, whatever was going on. I don't know. She was on the phone. She was upset. She was crying at 11 o'clock, really at 14. So I'm talking to her and I just went in prayer. And she said, Mom, I don't want to hear all that right now. No, no. I'm going to pray for you right now. Whatever's going on. She said, well, I don't have anybody to talk to. I'm like, I'm here. And I just said, look, whatever you're going through, I have already gone through. You know, at at 14 years old. And so I had to speak the truth in her about God, what I know. And then I had to tell her, look, if it's concerning boys, I know about it. If it's concerning friends, I know about it. You know, and so I know that, you know, friends at her age can be very, they can be cruel. And so I'm just asking God to lift her up in prayer. All the 14-year-olds, for some reason, they just, this is a different age, a different time for them than when we grew up. But I'm just going to speak life and speak God into her life daily. And it's some things that as of last night, 11 o'clock, I got to change. And so, this is a good declaration, Marcus. And thank you for speaking. And I think it was Sister, I forget who it was, about telling truth to kids. I have to, even my older children, I have to tell them, look, I know what you're going through. I can see it all over your face. You know, and if you do this, then maybe that'll happen. I have to be truthful and tell them. They may not call me for a couple of days, but we have to all be truthful to our kids. I used to sugarcoat things and just try to love them with giving them gifts and things. It don't work. Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
Brother Marcus.
Yeah. This is Tim. Sister Julia, that's Julia. Go ahead. Speak up.
Yes. I just want to say that I used to have a lot of anger in me. I mean, a lot of anger. I didn't want to listen to nobody. But, you know, I found out that, you know, when I had someone to talk to me and bring it to my attention, and I thank that person, Sister Lisa, she talked to me, you know, and I just didn't want to listen to nobody. It, you know, I had a lot of anger in me, and I know I was wrong. But now that I had listened to her and to all of you and you, Brother Parker, I am very happy that I had that talk and they brought it to my attention and I accept it now. And so I made me a better person. I want to thank everyone on the line because I had a lot of anger with me. And I didn't want to believe nobody. I didn't want to trust nobody. But now I am better because someone came to me and brought it to my attention. So God bless everyone on the line.
Amen. Amen. Anybody have any?
I apologize if I cut off Miss D. Sorry.
Amen.
I'd like to just say,
I know it's 8:09, but I just wanted to make a comment with Sister Ruth. This is Deborah Yvonne. That yesterday, my oldest son and I had a conversation. He called me, and he knows his whole life because I've been a Christian. I mean, ever since I was like maybe 7, 8 years old. And he knows his whole life that I always refer back to the Lord when you come to me with issues. And so yesterday, it really took me blindsided. He said, I don't want to hear nothing about your spiritual side. I don't want to hear anything. And I mean, I was really just blindsided by that comment. And then I told him, I stood up in the Lord, and I told him, I said, this is who I am. I said, I can't give you what you want. I can't say yes to when I know it's not right. So I said, this is who I am. I said, what you need to do is that before you call me, because I don't call you, before you call me, if you don't want to hear what the little comments that the Lord may give me to say to you, then maybe you shouldn't call me. Call me when you're ready to hear something like that, because I can't change who I am, and I'm not going to change who I am. Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, because exactly what she said. And she said, I don't want to hear all that right now. I'm like, because your mind is so clouded with all those things of the world. So thank you, Deborah Yvonne. Thank you so much.
You know, when a person tells you, well, I don't want to hear all that. Okay. Bye.
Hey, Jill.
This is D. If you don't want to hear it, that's fine. But you're not going to say nothing and tell me what you want me to hear if you don't want to hear what I got to say. Bye.
This is Miss D. I have a daughter that we bump heads a lot. And sometimes I don't want to hear her. But sometimes I have to hear. If I'm going to sit in a place where Christ got me walking, I got to hear the stuff I don't want to hear, especially from those that are personal with me, who can touch my emotional speech. So I have to learn how to listen and remove sometimes my emotions, because, see, as a mom, I want to fix things for her, or I want her to speak to me in a certain manner. But she is who she is, and she has to grow and go through what she has to, just like I had to. But when I listen, if I remove my mother's suit and I put my heart in God's hand and I just listen, she can get out what she needs to say. Because to tell the truth, I may have had experiences like she has, but this world today is totally different than the world I came up in. They are exposed to so much quicker than I was. At the age of 14, 16, and 20, kids are being killed for whatever reasons. But whatever's going on in this world, it wasn't the world I grew up in. So sometimes I need to listen so I can even tune in to what's going on in this world so I can have an effective prayer life for the kids. So the praying from my perspective, I need to know exactly what some of the things are they're dealing with so I can be effective in my prayer life. And then my responses to them may not be what they want to hear, but they tend to listen a little more after I listen to whatever it is I don't want to hear from them in whichever way it's coming. And that's from my mother walk, you know, with my daughters. My daughter, youngest, is 22, and then I have one 25. So, and my son, he'll hang up on me in a minute. But I don't always want to hear what they got to say, but I do listen, because if I don't listen, they're going to take it somewhere else, or they'll find another way to relieve themselves from whatever it is they're going through. And if they go to another immature person who doesn't have any wisdom, who may not walk with Christ, their responses could be something that could cause them to be one of these people on the streets using a gun or committing suicide.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah, man, good.
Tim, I'm sorry, Miss D, thank you so much, because that part she just said, and to Ruth and to Hada, everybody with my baby is 21, but I have a 17-year-old bonus daughter, and right, what we went through is we can't even imagine what our babies deal with on a day-to-day basis, not with just social media, but just all the peer pressure, all the gang stuff, all the cutting and the killing, and they have post-traumatic stress. So be that ear. Like you said, Ruth, your daughter said out of her own mouth she don't have anybody to talk to. Be her somebody to talk to. Get it to where she'll talk to you about any and everything. And, yeah, we all have been 14, the majority of us on this line, and we know what we did. But their walk is not the same as ours. I mean, we have similarities, but you got to really be that ear, because we don't want to have to get those phone calls, because it's real. It's a reality. These kids are leaving here through homicide, suicide, depression. So we have to really step up our fight, because it's a warfare. So be that ear, no matter if you want to hear it or not, because it's not always going to be pleasing to the ear, but be that vessel that they'll come to tell you anything, because like she just said, you'd rather get them get it the right information and get it from the old raggedy, dirty streets. That's it.
Well said. I learned some other stuff. I mean, I just, in y'all's comments, I'm not going to say I learned it, but I just had a change of heart on some things just listening to the last four or five sisters that spoke. And I think that's what this Declare Victory line is all about, that we listen, learn, and be able to adopt some new ways of doing things. And Ms. D, what you said is perfect, that we should listen, even when sometimes we don't want to listen. I think that when we don't want to listen, it's more about we want to be the ones talking. And so if we feel like we can't get what we want to say, I ain't going to listen to you. So, yeah, that's good. We are to listen. I think about the relationship I have with my daughter and how we have great conversations. My daughter just wrote a paper, and in this paper, she kind of throw my ex and me under the bus. And I kind of had a conversation with her about it to help bring her to a certain place, because what she spoke about is not, even though it's what she sees, but I had to help her sort of rearrange it a little bit by telling her the truth about some things she didn't particularly know about. And she got an impression of it, but now that I was able to uncover some truth about the matter, it allowed her to make a change in what she wrote. It's a paper for college or something. Anyway, the point is having conversation with her and telling her the truth about a situation that she wasn't quite privy to. Amen. So, 8:15 doesn't mean we got to stop. Sure, you can. I mean, I don't have nowhere I got to go. So,
Okay. Just me and you on the line. I'm okay with that. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, y'all. I just want to say this. You know, the law killeth, but the spirit brings life. So even the right word at the wrong time can be harmful. So we really need wisdom and to be led by the Spirit of God on what to say to whomever it is. Because we could have the right thing to say, but it could be absolutely the wrong time. And then there is wisdom. The children of this world are more wise than the children of light because they use strategy. There's more than one way to skin a cat without saying it necessarily, without pulling out the knife. We can say some things that could still be the principle of the word without the preachy word, if you know what I mean. So just using wisdom. Listen.
Yeah, that skin a cat comment, that's old school, girl. More than one way to skin a cat.
There is.
My battery is dying, and I don't have a plug, so I got to run over here and get a plug. So I'm going to have to bow out gracefully. Great conversation this morning. Thank Marcus for sparking it. I want to thank everybody for the comments and their teaching, because when we speak, we are teaching everybody. We're teaching others, and iron does sharpen iron. So thank you so much. Everybody's participation. Those of you that did not participate, we thank you for being in support of. So anyway, I'm going to say have a great day, a prosperous day, a God-blessed day, a victorious day, and also a weekend too. So I'm going to say sayonara.
You too.
Thank you. Love everybody. Thank you, Dee Dee.
Hey. Somebody blesses with a song on love.
Love.
Somebody closes out with a song on love.
That's not often used correctly.
Sing that song.
Love.
I wish I could sing.
I do love
you.
Yes, I do, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord
y'all
God.
Y'all are the craziest Christians I know. I love all of y'all. Friday Night Live. See you then.
I love you.
See you then. Love you.
I love you. That's
it, Phil.
All right, I got it.
God bless you all.
Oh, my God.
Everybody have a blessed day.